The ruling Tudor dynasty was bookended by two princesses named Elizabeth Tudor. The one, born in 1492, whose brief years passed into obscurity, and the other, who dominated her era and brought the dynasty to its close with her death in old age in 1603. Their lives were full stops between which countless lives of other Tudor women were lived. To the people of 15th and 16th century England, life could be divided into phases, the seven ages of man, articulated most famously by Shakespeare in As You Like It, as infant, schoolboy, lover, soldier, the justice of the peace, the aging retiree, and finally, the infirm elder. From the female perspective, those ages could never apply in quite the same way. But in an era when women were largely denied any official public role, there are analogies. For some, the experience of Tudor womanhood ended very early, as it did for the first Elizabeth Tudor. For those who survived infancy, there was the stuff of girlhood and play, a variable education according to social class and geography, and perhaps some temporary employment or domestic service before marriage, and for many, motherhood. With marriage, employment in any modern sense of carrying out a paid or public role outside the home was usually over. But other women remained unmarried and ran independent businesses as a femme sole or continued in a career. Some ended up on the wrong side of the law. Others were entirely law-abiding, and a few spent a good while inside the law, embroiled in suits and countersuits. Women were not isolated from the turbulence around them. As a contested Reformation gathered pace in England, its catalyst being Henry VIII's desire for divorce, some women saw the light, or saw their own particular light. And in an age where public toleration of diverse opinions over religion or kingship was an anathema, there were consequences for women who spoke out. Women could not be soldiers, one of Shakespeare's middle ages. Neither could they, with the unusual exception of the two ruling queens, dispense justice by holding any public office. But a surprising number of women were highly political, deliberately or implicitly, whether they were motivated by desire for power, devotion to their faith, support for their family, or the myriad of other reasons that could draw them away from the home. The final two of the seven ages saw the descent into old age for women who had escaped the hazards of childbirth and the risks of disease, accident, or execution. For those who did get that far, the final years presented new challenges and great contrasts. Alice Taylor, an aged and impoverished wench of Ipswich, spent her last years very differently to Elizabeth I in the 1590s, who, by this time, had reached her summit as Gloriana. But as both of them looked around, they would have seen more women their own age than men. With their greater longevity, many more women than men saw out the seven ages. It is perhaps fitting, therefore, that the Tudor era reached the end of its seventh age in the last breaths of Elizabeth I, one of its most adept and extraordinary women.